Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 18. Tasyai vaheto prayate tako vido na labhyate yad brahmatam upāryada ta labhyate dukkavadanyata sukham Kalena sarvatra gabira ranghasa. Translation. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtained even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. Please repeat. Persons who are actually intelligent. And philosophically inclined. Should endeavor only for that purposeful end. Which is not obtainable. Even by wandering from the topmost planet.
Down to the lowest planet.
As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time. Just as in course of time we obtain miseries. Even though we do not desire them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Every man, everywhere, is trying to obtain the greatest amount of sense enjoyment by various endeavors. Some are busy engaged in trade, industry, economic development, political supremacy, etc. And some of them are engaged in fruitive work to become happy in the next life by attaining higher planets. It is said that on the moon, the inhabitants are fit for greater sense enjoyment by drinking soma rasa, and the pitriloka is obtained by good charitable work. So there are various programs for sense enjoyment, either during the present life or in the life after death. Some are trying to reach the moon or other planets by some mechanical arrangement, for they are very anxious to get into such planets without doing good work. But it is not to happen. By the law of the Supreme, different places are meant for different grades of living beings according to the work they have performed. By good work only, as prescribed in the scriptures, one can attain birth in a good family, opulence, good education, and good bodily features. We see also that even in this life one obtains a good education or money by good work. Similarly, in our next birth, we get such desirable positions only by good work. Otherwise, it would not so happen that two persons born in the same place at the same time are seen differently placed according to previous work. But all such material positions are impermanent. The positions in the topmost Brahmaloka and in the lowest Patala are also changeable according to our own work. The philosophically inclined person must not be tempted by such changeable positions. He should not try to get into the permanent life. He should try to get into the permanent life of bliss and knowledge, where he will not be forced to come back again to the miserable material world, either in this or that planet. Miseries and mixed happiness are two features of material life, and they are obtained in Brahmaloka and in other lokas also. They are obtained in the life of the demigods and also in the life of the dogs and hogs. The miseries and mixed happiness of all living beings are only of different degrees and quality. But no one is free from the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. Similarly, everyone has his destined happiness also. No one can get more or less of these things simply by personal endeavors. If they are obtained, they can be lost again. One should not, therefore, waste time with these flimsy things. One should endeavor only to go back to Godhead. That should be the mission of everyone's life. Translation again. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end, which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time. Just as in course of time we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadigaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So to come to the direct translation of the verse, we find the verse says that one should not be engaged in pursuing that which is obtainable within the material universe, from the highest planet of Brahmaloka to the lowest planet of Pataloka. And what is that? That which is obtainable within the material universe is the mixture of material happiness and material distress, which are obtained as results of one's activities. If one engages in pious activities or beneficial activities, the result will be that one will enjoy some degree of sense gratification, which is always mixed. And if one has engaged in sinful activities or vicious activities, the result will be material miseries. Within the material world, on the material platform, no one can engage wholly and solely in pious activities, nor can anyone engage wholly and solely in sinful activities. And therefore, as destined by one's activities, one will enjoy a certain amount of material so-called happiness and a certain amount of distress. And whether one is on the highest planet of Brahmaloka or on the lowest planet of Patala Loka, one is bound to enjoy and suffer the results of one's past activities. So we should not waste our time trying to increase our material enjoyment or even trying to avoid material distress, because both are ordained to us as the result of our past activities. And we will get the results of our past activities whether we like them or not. Nobody wants miseries, but they come automatically because we are ordained to suffer them because of our past sinful activities. So in the same way, without making any effort, we are also going to enjoy a certain amount of sense gratification, again, as destined according to our past pious activities. So the Bhagavatam is telling us that instead of wasting our time trying to increase our sense gratification or decrease our material miseries, we should rather use our time and energy to achieve that which is not available in the material world. Or in other words, we should engage our time and energy to make progress in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness exists on the absolute platform, beyond the dualities of material happiness and distress. And therefore, if we use our time and energy to become Krishna conscious, we can actually go beyond the material dualities and enter into the absolute realm where life is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss without any mixed happiness and suffering. So we need to associate with devotees, especially more advanced devotees, in order to actually apply the instructions given here and elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the rest of the world is madly pursuing material happiness. Everyone is completely absorbed in thinking of how they can enjoy more and how they can suffer less. And if we just associate with such materialistic persons or such ignorant persons, we're bound to be influenced by their association, and then we also become like them, you know, madly pursuing sense gratification and desperately trying to avoid miseries. It's only in the association of more advanced devotees who are free from the vain attempt to increase their material happiness and avoid their material sinful reactions. You know, it is only in such association that we can remain firm and fixed in our determination. Otherwise, the rest of the world is going in a certain direction, and individually we don't have the strength to resist the current, but we'll be tempted to jump in the current along with everyone else and try to enjoy as much as we can and suffer as little as we can. Of course, the desire to enjoy more and to suffer less is natural, but such desire cannot be fulfilled in the material range of fruitive work or sense gratification. But perfect happiness and the complete cessation of material miseries can be achieved in the spiritual world by Krishna consciousness. And therefore we should use our valuable time and energy to be Krishna conscious, to become Krishna conscious, and to tolerate the mixed happiness and distress that come automatically as destined to us. Hare Krishna. Of course, even within devotional service, we can increase our miseries or decrease them. If we offend Vaishnavas, for example, then we will suffer more. And if we, you know, chant the holy name without offense, we will become relieved of sinful reactions and therefore we will suffer less. But we don't adjust the material miseries by material means, but just by properly following the process of devotional service. Jai, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?
If a person, just from a material perspective, engages in pious activities, then materially they'll enjoy more and suffer less. They won't mitigate all the suffering because everything's mixed. But, you know, the less grossly sinful things they do and the more activities they engage in just material goodness, then the more they're going to enjoy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So then,
but they can't eliminate the reactions to their past pious and sinful activities by present pious activities.
Right, but they could ensure
more
enjoyment in the future, material enjoyment.
They can, yeah.
And if a person engages in devotional service and attempts to ignore that material law and just attempts to act in Krishna consciousness, but they are not perfect and they don't achieve that level of pure Krishna consciousness which allows them to mitigate material suffering. But neither are they endeavoring to ensure more material enjoyment by some pious
That's a good question.
Activity. Then what will their future look like?
They actually indirectly answered in yesterday's verse. But I'll answer in a minute. I'll be back in a minute. I can look at the answer on the computer. Just to summarize Revati Mataji's question, she said that if we engage in pious activities, then we'll get more material enjoyment in the future. And if we avoid sinful activities, then we'll have less material suffering in the future. Now, if a devotee disregards pious and sinful activities and engages exclusively in devotional service and is successful, well and good. But if the devotee, you know, disregards such considerations and is not completely successful, then what will happen? So yesterday's verse answers the question. It's one of several verses that deals with the same question. Taktua sadharmam charnam bhujam harer bhajan apakvo tapatet tato yadi yatra kvabhadramabhud amushyakim kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmata. Translation. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, although fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Arjuna asked a similar question to Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, that if one gives up his material duties to engage in devotional service, and then he's successful, well and good. But if he's not successful, what will be his position? He will not have any position, either in the spiritual world or the material world. So what will be his fate? And Lord Krishna replies that, you know, one who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. And even if one is not completely successful in the present life, he'll get the chance to continue where he left off in the next life. And depending on how much advancement he made in the present life, he'll take birth either in a wealthy aristocratic family on earth or a pious family of devotees on earth, and continue his devotional service here, or he will be elevated to a heavenly planet. But in either case, he gets the opportunity to continue in devotional service. Now, generally, devotees are advised to engage in activities of goodness. Although the direct process of hearing and chanting about Krishna is transcendental, but other activities in relation to the body that even devotees have to undertake just to keep the body and soul together should be done in the mode of goodness. And again, the mode of goodness leads to the higher planets, the mode of passion leads to birth again on earth, and the mode of ignorance leads to birth in lower species or in lower planets. And in general, a devotee is sinless. But still, one may forsake his material duties for the sake of devotional service. In other words, he'll give up his duties to his parents, or, you know, in some cases, his duty to his wife and children, you know, at an advanced stage of sannyas. And at the same time, you know, he may not do his duties to, in the material sense, he may not do his duties to his community or his country or towards humanity, towards other living entities, towards, you know, the great philosophers and scientists and poets of the past, whose heritage we have enjoyed in the present. So the question is, if the devotee does not fulfill his ordinary obligations to his family, society, and so on, will he be liable to sinful reactions in the next life if he's not completely successful in Krishna consciousness? So though the general answer is, you know, that one will take birth in an aristocratic family or a pious family of devotees or yogis, or take birth on a heavenly planet, there are places where Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in the purport that, you know, if one forsakes his material duties and falls down from the path of Krishna consciousness in the present life, he'll still get the chance to continue devotional service in the next life, but he may take birth in a lower family or be subject to more material miseries. So there's some risk. But, you know, if the devotee continues his or her efforts in Krishna consciousness and, you know, basically follows the regulative principles, which naturally would keep the devotee free from sin, but just isn't, you know, completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, or is not able to be promoted to the spiritual world at the end of the present life, still, in the devotee can expect to get a better material birth also. You know, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Pujayate. And I think it would really only be the devotee who falls down and engages in sinful activities, and at the same time, you know, neglected the worldly pious activities performed in relation to one's obligations to one's family and society and so on. That person might take a more miserable birth, but still in a human form, and still be given another chance to make further progress.
But as far as the person whose previous karma destined them to suffer as a result of the previous sinful activities, then whether they act in Krishna consciousness or in, you know, material goodness, or they're going to suffer regardless. What, I mean, it may be mitigated somewhat by Krishna's mercy, but it's not, you were saying, it's the future can be changed by the present activities, but the karmic result that's ripe is there regardless, isn't it?
Yes. Like, as a result of my past activities, I may be I may develop short-sightedness. So So even if I become a pure devotee, I'll still, you know, need glasses. Because there's different stages of karma. So some karma is already built into the body. And, you know, whether one becomes a pure devotee or not, one still has, you know, limitations and a certain destiny that come with the body. But even then, I was reading a book written by a doctor which says that, you know, based on statistical evidence, that people who believe in God, you know, other factors being equal, people who believe in God will live longer. They'll tend to have less serious diseases, and if they have them, they'll tend to recover from them better or quicker. And then, within the category of those that believe in God, there are some whose relationship with God is more congenial, where they feel confident in their relationship with God. And then there are those whose relationship with God is more troubled, you know, with feelings of guilt or, you know. So then within the category of believers, the ones whose relationship with God is more congenial, they also live longer, they're less likely to have serious diseases, and if they do, they tend to recover more quickly.
Trusting with mercy.
Yeah, feeling more confident in their relationship with God. So, I mean, in that sense, you know, one could say that, you know, one's Krishna consciousness can affect even one's, you know, material destiny in the present life. Or one could imagine that generally people who are believers in this life are just continuing from a past life, so, you know, so they're more pious from the past life anyway. But I think the interpretation of the statistical evidence suggests that people in the present life who do develop their relationship with God can expect to lead healthier lives.
Asking a question, it's just thinking about devotees that act in passion, even though the devotional sentiment is there,
mm-hmm.
but they're still habituated to a certain mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just seems that they get the devotional benefit, but they also get the reaction for whatever attachment they have to passion and ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you know, the reaction will not necessarily create more reactions in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they engage in devotional service, then, you know, the future will be very bright.
So they may have
because
that
of because of again, you know, the body is right. is already sort of made of some combination of the three modes, and therefore, in the present life, you know, one's body and mind will be subject to the distresses of the lower modes. But if one, you know, engages in devotional service and avoids sinful activities, then the fact that one is more influenced by the lower modes in the present life will not hinder the person's progress in the next life.
Yeah. Whereas otherwise it's likely to just
perpetuate
cycle
itself.
Down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
But even in this life, if I engage my passion in spiritual life, won't it become purified to some degree?
Yes, that's true too. That's true too. Even within the present life, if one, you know, really puts one's energy into devotional service, then even in the present life, the influence of the lower modes can slacken and one can rise up in the modes. You know, that's why not everything depends on how much we engage in devotional service. You know, someone might be passionate and, like, go out and sell whatever, and then again, how much of what one gets from one's sales, and, you know, how much of it is used in Krishna consciousness and how much is not, you know, that could affect how much one is purified by the activity. Which is not to say that if, you know, someone owns a company and he makes, you know, $1 million and then he gives $10,000 for Krishna consciousness, that he's going to be more purified than someone who earns $10,000 a year, you know, and gives. And then again, so much of what we earn gets spent on our basic maintenance, and then how much of our life is Krishna conscious, and that much of our basic maintenance is considered part of the whole process of Krishna consciousness. But you know, if one is passionate and he puts his energy into distributing books and then giving the money to the temple, then that'll be very purifying.
Well, that's dovetailed directly as opposed to just that someone's... I understand what you're saying. As opposed to someone that's just aspiring to be a devotee but still acts on other tendencies and not directly dovetailed.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing that, you know, one might, you know, have a child or a grandchild and then play with the child. And the play may not be directly related to Krishna consciousness. But there's no sinful activity involved, just sort of moment of material happiness, so to speak. You know, that will not it won't directly affect one's future life. It just means some of the stock of pious reactions is getting used up. It won't directly affect one's next life. It might take some time away from, you know, the time one could spend on more spiritually advantageous activities, but then again, you know, what can repression accomplish? So that's really not a very big issue. But, you know, if one spends, like, you know, the typical doting grandparents, I mean, you know, like in the 80-year-old range, you know, they spend the whole day playing with the grandchildren with no thought of Krishna consciousness. That's something else. But, you know, in a normal course, to spend a little time with, you know, one's grandchildren. And there's always going to be some attempt to help the child become Krishna conscious. So it's not a major factor if it doesn't involve an inordinate amount of time.
What about negative things, you know, like, you know, as devoted sometimes because of many reasons, maybe because of their nature or their capacity, or devotees tired or harsh with each other, or their, like within family life, amongst devotees, that can happen, you know, and so that's like very, seems like an influence of the lower modes, you know, and
It could be.
I mean, you were talking about offenses. You know, devotees are concerned about committing offenses, but sometimes it makes them want to stay away because they recognize that they may commit offenses. And then, which is more advantageous, you know, to take the association and risk the offenses and avoid the offenses, but keep it, you know. Distance.
Well, we should try to associate with such devotees in such situations that we're less likely to commit offenses. And if we're more likely, then maybe we should avoid the situation. But it's not that all anger is necessarily the result of passion and ignorance. You know, like Prabhupada's, there's the one famous incident from Mayapur when Prabhupada saw how filthy the latrines were. And he really, like, criticized the leaders for not reacting. And, you know, if one is in the mode of goodness, then one will react to filth. And that was the point he made. That, and in other places, you know, he said that, you know, a Brahmin and dirt cannot live together. You know, either the dirt has to go or the Brahmin will go. But they don't mix. So, it's not that, you know, it's not that the anger is necessarily the result of a lower mode. It could be the result of a higher mode coming in contact with a lower mode and reacting. But yes, in general, you know, we should seek the association of devotees that's going to be most congenial. And one would have to sort of see for oneself whether, you know, the devotees or the situation would be such that the
you know, that the ultimate best choice would be to be there or not. Of course, there's another consideration altogether, which is preaching. You know. So, you know, for the sake of preaching, we can associate with devotees that ordinarily we wouldn't want to associate with. And even if there's some conflict with the devotees in the course of the service, but the value of preaching is so great that it overrides, you know, whatever little offenses one might consider that the devotees are committing against each other. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitya Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.